How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. What a busy week for fight sports, for pro wrestling. I got to tell you, it's always fascinating to me when... You know, you get fights like the Tyson fight. We're going to talk about this. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. You guys are going to hear my thoughts on this. You all said UFC 309 in New York at the Garden. You had a great SmackDown ending. You had November Rain last night on AEW leading up to Full Gear. It was an eventful weekend for the world of fight sports and pro wrestling. Last night, a lot of my buddies were at the Garden. Oh, man, you know, that building was bumping for John Jones and Stipe. We're going to talk about this. We rarely talk about UFC here. We rarely talk about boxing. But I think it matters. I think this is a big deal. A lot of exciting stuff happening. I want to get your thoughts also. Hit me up on X, at Andrew Zarian. Let me know what you think, because a lot of you guys messaged me about the Tyson fight, and... You know, this was, not only was this a great example of what Netflix will do with WWE, but it also showed you how the world of pay-per-view, the world of promotions, it's all changing rapidly. And with UFC, with their deal coming up soon, I mean, they could break the whole entire model and go to Netflix. And not that I have any inside information on that, but they could. And it would change everything. I want to talk about this. I want to hear your thoughts. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. When we come back, we're going to break this down, including everything else that happened in the world of professional wrestling. A lot of exciting stuff. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Sunday edition of the show. Love that you guys are here with me, hanging out with me, talking about all this stuff. Friday night. This was a big night for me. You know, I grew up in the Tyson era. Pay-per-views were a huge deal in my house. My grandparents were huge boxing fans, couldn't speak a word of English. But they loved Mike Tyson. They loved George Foreman. And I learned a lot. One of my grandfathers was a bodybuilder. The other one was a boxer. Boxed in Bulgaria. Very exciting for me to share this moment with my kids. Unfortunately, this fight went on so late, the main event, that I had to wake them up to watch nothing. It was a dud of a fight. We saw those hype videos coming from the Tyson camp. He looked fantastic. Listen, 58, 59 years old. The guy was moving way better than a 58-year-old. But as he was coming down to that ring, man, he was doing that old man shuffle. Bad comparison here, right? But just play along with the idea. You know, when we saw those Flair videos when he was training, he was taking those backdrops, he was moving around. I mean, listen, he's an older man, but he was still able to be a little bit of Ric Flair. We didn't really get that, right? When he came out to that ring, his ankle was banged up for that final Flair fight match. It kind of like gave me that same vibe. Of Tyson walking down, he's shuffling his feet a little bit. You know, is it a fixed fight? That's my opinion. I think that these two went out there and they said, let's make as much money as we can and not really hurt each other and not embarrass either one. And they put on an exhibition, whatever the hell you want to call it. And 60 million plus people watched the fight on Netflix. MJ, listen, you grew up, you're a boxing fan. You're a fight sport fan, my producer here. You know, for you, you watched the Tyson era, so did I. Huge part of yes. our young lives.
Fun
for
fact,
you, your young adult life, because you're an old man, but it was a huge part of our lives to watch a Mike Tyson pay-per-view. Did it feel like that for you?
Kind of. Fun fact, you don't know this, up until about 15 years ago, I had a mint condition Sports Illustrated from like 1985. It was the cover that had Mike Tyson and his breakout.
The cover.
17-year-old.
The cover.
Yeah, the and I had that, and it was in mint condition, and it got ruined in a flood.
Oh, my gosh.
I was so depressed, yeah. But so yeah, that fight, to me, I said once it goes past three rounds, if Mike Tyson doesn't knock him out, they're just gonna it's just gonna be worthless. And sure enough, about round six, I went, "Oh, dude, this dude looks terrible." So, I think that there was some sort of agreement made that we're just gonna walk this down to the end. It was so I was highly disappointed. But what I wasn't highly disappointed was the fight before it.
Oh, the semi-main! Holy moly, those two. Mm-hmm. Beat the crap out of each other.
Not only they beat the crap out of each other, 1,500 punches. I'm tired saying it.
Wow.
Between the two of them.
Listen, at the end of the day, this was a pro wrestling main event. Okay? Jake Paul came out in his car. Mike Tyson comes out there for the big return. They went the distance. They went eight rounds. Rich owes me. By the way, Rich owes me a drink. That was the bet on that.
Did you not think it was going to go?
He thought second round Tyson knockout. And I'm like,
if it was going to be a knockout, that's when it was going to be.
Listen, if this was 5 years ago, even, I would say that's a very big possibility. Tyson would have knocked him out. They weren't going to do that. But they did tease a Logan Paul Mike Tyson fight next.
Oh, I saw that.
That was the tease at the end. No. Again, we're talking about this because it was very pro wrestling centric. But here's the other part. This was Netflix's first real attempt at a stress test, okay?
Yeah, this is
a real stress
test.
60 million plus people tuned into that fight. I don't know how Netflix did those metrics. I know that they get them from, I forgot the analytics company that they are linked up with. I don't know if this is concurrent. I don't know how they're measuring this, but this was their press release. Very similar to, remember that crazy press release that that Warner put out saying that AEW had 14 million viewers last week or whatever time frame they came up with? 60 million is a very impressive number, but this was a stress test. Did you have issues? I had none, but it seems like everybody else except for me had problems watching this fight, and we're 6 weeks away from Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it buffered three times for me, and I had to refresh it because I watched it in a browser. So for me, it was different. I know a lot of people probably can't refresh it, but it would stick at 99%, and then I'd refresh it.
I had no problems, dude. I had no problems, and I'm one of the lucky ones. Yeah. But this is a little concerning. Now, are you going to have 60 million people tuning into Monday Night Raw? God, I hope for that company. That's incredible. It's a global number, that they're presenting you with, and that's kind of going to be what they're going to present you with moving forward for Netflix. I think they're just going to hit you with a global number, and what would that do? What would that global number be for Monday Night Raw? Could it be 5 million, 6 million, 7 million? Possible. Are you going to do a 3-day, 3-day plus? I'm telling you, that first Monday Night Raw, they're going to come out with some insane press. I've been saying this from the beginning because I know how these guys operate. They're going to come out with some crazy number. It's going to be a global number that they're going to piece together somehow. And the story's going to be, oh my gosh, this was the best move for this company.
20 million. Yeah, 20 million.
I don't know, 20 million,
something.
But maybe they're going to say 7 million, 8 million people tuned into the first Monday Night Raw on Netflix. That's a real.
Worldwide.
Is that higher worldwide? I don't know. You think so? You know what? I would take that bet with you. We got 6 weeks for this. What do you think that worldwide number is going to be?
Let's put the over under at 9 million.
I'm going under 9.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're taking the over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the bet. That Sports Illustrated cover that you lost in a flood. That Mike Tyson, you're talking about the 1986 cover, right? The Dynamite, the Kid Dynamite. Mike Tyson, Kid Dynamite with the blue trunks.
Mm-hmm.
I will buy you that.
Oh, man.
I will get you that. How about that? That's the bet.
Fair.
That's how confident I am. I mean, listen, I'd love for them to say it's a 20 million viewership number. That's pretty cool. But you know, realistically speaking, I think like the under on 9, but over 5 is a reality. Would it be a disappointment if they say it's 3 million people?
Yeah, I think so. Just, I mean, because just when you add worldwide, that's why I say that.
Worldwide. I don't know. We'll see. But they got 6 weeks. This was a nice test for them.
One more thing on this.
Yeah.
Is this is the best thing they could have done by not putting this. If you have Netflix, you got this for free. And a lot of people already have Netflix. More people watch this out of morbid curiosity than anything because it was on.
So I know a lot of people
have to purchase it.
I know. You talk about casuals, right? We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. We talk about this constantly, the casual fan. The sheer amount of people in my life that do not really watch boxing, you know, they'll watch a big fight. Like, men, women, it doesn't matter. That were so into this fight was incredible. It resonated. Listen, this is something that resonates, you know, and this is something we talk about professional wrestling. How do you cross over? It's no longer about those weekly fans that tune in every single week. It's about how do you cross over? And this is a great example of doing that. You do a freak show fight, and all of a sudden you have 60 million people that tuned in to watch. That number is going to be way bigger. Remember how many venues were airing this fight, and it was very cheap to go through Johan Promotions to get this fight. It was dirt cheap. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Listen, guys, I was excited for that fight, okay? We're going to talk about, you know, sometimes we talk about other things here, too, outside of wrestling. I promise you, I got a lot of wrestling to talk about. But we also had UFC 309 last night. John Jones defeated, just beat up Stipe Miocic. And he retired after that, Stipe, after the fight. This was Stipe's first fight in a long time, right?
4 years.
Four years? 3 years?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was during the pandemic, I believe.
Yeah. You know, Stipe's one of the greatest fighters out there. Fantastic fighter. But, you know, when you're done, you're done. And John Jones is arguably the greatest combat sport fighter of all time. Even with all the troubles. The craziness, the USADA issues, this man is the greatest fighter of all time. And, you know, was he John Jones of a couple years ago? Pretty close to it, but he doesn't need to be, really, at 38 years old, 37 years old. You know, he's coming to the end there, but he dismantled Stipe.
That heavyweight division, beyond those two, it's really weak, so I wonder how long it'll be before he fights again.
I don't know, but in the press conference, you know, they were talking about who his next opponent's going to be, and they threw some names, but I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, the UFC, it's a fascinating thing because this is a company that really boomed, and they got that ESPN deal during the height of that boom with the Ronda Rousey stuff and the you know, John Jones, obviously, but Conor McGregor was a huge part of that company, and you had stars, like legitimate, and I'm not saying that who they have today is they're not stars. They're fantastic fighters, but you had a recognizable crossover name. Again, back to that conversation of crossover audience. John Jones is one of those guys. I know many people, listen, it's the garden, right? It's my backyard. Do you know how many people I knew that were in that building?
Probably a lot.
A whole lot. A lot of people. Listen, it was a fantastic show, and this is what UFC does. Triple H was there. Did you see the crowd shots? A lot of yeah. People were there.
There was Hunter a lot of celebrities yeah. that we know of. Yeah.
Well, apparently, the president-elect Donald Trump did his little Trump dance.
Dance. Yeah.
To right, you know, to who? To Hunter. To Triple H. And then they check. What a wacky world we live in.
Oh man.
None of this is real, dude.
There was so many, like, you had, it was all Dana's friends.
It was all Dana's friends, yeah.
Kid Rock. Wild. I was like, oh my.
Wild. Really bizarre to watch, to tune into UFC and this Kid Rock drinking a beer next to Elon Musk with Donald Trump next to him.
Right.
And Bobby Kennedy screaming about, you know, the worms that have that are going to take us over eventually one day. Everybody's going to be taken over by a worm. So, fascinating time. But that was UFC. Let's go into some wrestling now. This is what I want to talk about. I got to tell you, man, that SmackDown on Friday, I really enjoyed. I do like that they're shifting to Cody and Kevin Owens. That's a nice shift here, right, for the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. They're not doing it on the pay-per-view.
No, I'm sorry. They're not doing it on the pay-per-view. I think that's fine. Are you against it?
No, I'm fine with it because that's a headline match that we need to see on its own, and I'm fine with it because those war game matches take up the show.
You're gonna have two of those. They're over an hour. Sometimes
40 minutes. I think
45 minutes. Okay, so you got 2 hours there with video packages and entrances. You got 2 hours there that you got to cut from somewhere. Saturday night's main event needs a big main event. You know that number has to be good. Remember, it's also simulcasted on Peacock. It's not just on NBC.
Mm-hmm. That'll be the first one, I believe, right?
And that'll be the first one. And their Russell Vogt said that there's another one coming in January, right before Royal Rumble. So, you know, this is part of the plan here. We'll see what happens. But this was pretty good. Cody comes out. He starts the show. He tries to call out Kevin Owens for what he did to Randy Orton last night. Nick Aldis comes out and said that he sent Kevin home because he hit an illegal pile driver. So I like that they're using that as this, you know, move that, you know, they didn't just forget about the fact that that's an illegal move to do.
They're telling you why.
Mm-hmm. Cody would tell all this is the right thing because if you can't
that's
get so him in the ring,
Aldis,
oh, there you go. You told him that Aldis, thank you for that. That if this is the right thing to do, if you can't get him in the ring, he'll figure out a way to get his hands on him. You had a lot of stuff happening for the championship tournament. Bayley defeated Candice LeRae and B-Fab to advance to the U.S. championship tournament. I don't mind that title. It looks nice.
Yeah, it does. I didn't put this in here, but they're doing 4 3-ways. And then the winners out of those will be a semifinal, then a final. And they're going to do that at Saturday Night's main event as well. Crown the first women's U.S. champ.
Yeah. LA Knight had a open challenge. I'm going to ask you, who did he wrestle?
Berto. It's the former, I don't even know. They didn't call him Berto for so long. He's part of the Elgato Fantasma group.
You're talking about Umberto.
Yeah. Umberto. Right.
Yeah. Now
they call
Berto.
Him Berto now.
Now he's Berto. The character from Super Mario Brothers 2, Birdo. It was an open challenge. He defeated him. It was 4 minutes of TV time. After the match, Nakamura would appear out of nowhere wearing face paint.
He looks kind of like a ninja in a way.
I want to see. I'm glad he's back. Do we have a good picture of him? I want to see a good picture of him. I want to find this picture of him. I'm looking here. Yeah, he looked good. He's wearing all black. I guess he's dark Nakamura now. It's another variant on him.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine. He looks really badass, so that's good.
Listen, I think it's good to change him up. And you know what's amazing about him? I mean, 2015, 2014, 2016, he was probably my favorite pro wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Before he came over. I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money. He's enjoying it. You know, why would he want to go back to that New Japan style of hurting himself? The Usos and Zayn were standing in Roman's locker room. Roman finally walked in. He said they haven't been able to find a fifth man. This is when the new Bloodline music started and Roman and the crew got up to go to the ring. Now, this was pretty cool. There was a total brawl, okay? Roman would face up with Jacob Fatu. By the way, I want to see that match. That is the match I want.
That's every time they face off, it gets a big. That's why they did that, and it set up what Bronson Reed did.
That is the match. There's something very special about Jacob Fatu. And you know what? There aren't too many detractors on the internet that say otherwise. You don't see a lot of people saying, I'm not a fan of Jacob Fatu. There's something there. He's so freaking menacing. You need that in a heel. Yeah, that face-to-face crowd went nuts. And here comes Bronson Reed as the fifth man for the new bloodline. It ended with the bloodline being laid out, the OG bloodline being laid out. Jimmy Uso tells Roman to make the call. Now, there was a moment in the ring, okay? And this is, did you see that conspiracy theory that's floating on Twitter now?
I haven't.
So the conspiracy is when they were in the ring, right? Sammy did something with his phone. He moved it from one pocket to the other.
That wasn't in the ring. It was in the back. It was in that. Was backstage.
That? Oh, I'm sorry. That was in the back. Yes.
Yeah, that was in the back. I did see that.
Okay. Then at the end, Roman went to make the call. After the match, it cuts. Roman is in the dressing room right after that. After you had the Nia and the Tiffany Stratton distraction. He goes, Roman has a cell phone, he has a smirk. He said he's going to call the wise man. It's a huge pop. And it goes to an automated message and it says, the number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording. Huh. Now, Paul E. Dangerously might have finally canceled that cellular USA phone plan on his old Motorola. His analog phone might have finally stopped working in 2024. Or is it, did someone change the number?
Yeah. There's something going on there. We're going to probably get all the answers saboteur tomorrow. Yeah.
Is Sammy a saboteur? I was tickled by this. I thought this was done so well. Because, you know, whether or not he did do that, right? They kind of put it in, like, it was enough people that saw that weird move with the cell phone pocket change that it kind of now people like spinning it into their own fan fiction. I thought that was done so well.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. I mean, I got to tell you, very impressed by this SmackDown. I really liked it. I thought they've done a great job with this. I think anything with Roman is great. I think Sammy being in a top position like this really elevates him. You know, he's a guy that when he's in the mid-card, he kind of gets lost. But when you put him in a big-time program, he really shines. And I can't compare it to anybody else on that roster that has the same ability. You take him and put him in a middle program, and he's just there. And then but when you move him, he really elevates himself. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I did want to touch on another thing here with SmackDown. The tag division is really heating up here. I like what they're doing. Motor City Machine Guns being there has really, in the last couple of weeks, has kind of shifted that tag division. Between the Street Profits, you got Ciampa, you got DIY, I should say. You got Motor City Machine Guns in the mix. You know, I think they're doing a good job. I'm curious if they would benefit from only having one tag title.
I've always thought that, but they're keeping them on separate shows, so it's fine.
I know, but they got such great talent there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Ciampa is now getting more agitated, and it looks like he's turning heel, but Gargano is kind of not, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, interesting. AW Collision was also last night. They were up against a really stiff competition. Listen, I was watching UFC.
Top football games.
Yeah, you had football. You had UFC. I watched this morning. First thing I did was turn this on because I just had, I ran out of TVs to watch it on. It started with Mina defeated Harley Cameron. I'm glad to see Mina there. Her theme is a spoof, not a spoof, but a dupe as they say, of another song, and I cannot put my finger on it. Meanest Theme.
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm asking the wrong person. I'm asking the universe. I know it's a song. I know the song. It's. I just can't for whatever reason. TNT champion Jack Perry drove. I mean, it was great. I enjoyed this match. Drove to the building in his bus ahead of the match. This will play a part later. Daniel Garcia defeated Johnny TV with Mansoor and Mason Madden. Jack Perry attacks Matt Menard, which, you know, Daniel Garcia and him are friends, who was on commentary, drags him out to backstage. He was shown trying to hook a chain to Menard. Garcia would go back there. To the back of the bus.
He was going to drag him. Yeah.
Garcia would go back, attack Perry, and they would end up shaming him. They tied him to his own truck with the chain, and they drove away. Did people enjoy that? I thought it was good.
It was different. You know what, though? It feels like, and I said this last night in our little group chat, it feels like Moxley's influence is bleeding over into other segments.
Into other stuff.
This feels like something he would do.
Yeah, yeah. We also got Shelton Benjamin with MVP defeating Commander. This was another display for Shelton. He's so big, and Commander's so tiny, so little, next to him.
But it was a great match.
It was a great match, yeah. Shelton's, every match he's been doing is good. And I like this new Shelton. With the body, you know, he's just doing suplexes. He's gigantic. MVP got involved. He knocked out Alex. You saw that? He's swinging now. And I don't know if this is foreshadowing. Powerhouse Hobbs was after this. With Bulk Bronson. Hobbs looks incredible, huh? How big is he?
Yeah, and this was... And he just destroys these big guys. This was...
There's a reason why he went on after this match. I'm just letting you know.
Makes sense.
He looks bigger than ever. I mean, I just pulled up the video again. You're just so impressive, this guy. We'll see what happens. I'm curious what they do with him, because they have a lot of these guys that they don't have opportunities. Hobbs is one. Where the hell's Wardlow? He's still hurt, I guess, right?
I guess. I haven't heard anything on him in what feels like a couple months at least.
Dude, that momentum after beating MJF at that show, at Double or Nothing, it just went nowhere after that. It just nowhere. That was it. Crazy, right? And he had that tremendous steel cage match with Cody. Went nowhere.
Yeah, he was getting the Goldberg chance coming.
Yeah.
He was presenting that way, and he was over. Yeah. Don't know.
it really comes down to consistency. You know, when you're not consistent with displaying and telling people this guy's a star, this is the conversation, right? I tune this show in. Who's the star of the show? I tune in. Who's the guy? Who's the guy? Who's the girl? You know, who's the star? I don't know. Do you?
I mean, I guess it's Mariah May and John Moxley are the men's and women's top. But yeah.
To us, yes. Was it presented like that? I don't know. My issue is it's not the talent ever. The presentation is, you know, everybody gets an equal share. I don't like that. I want to be told from the beginning to the end, this person is the guy. John Moxley obviously is, you know, right now. But... We need to know who people are. I think presenting Powerhouse Hobbs as an up and coming guy, you know, is worth it. And they did do a good job. He you know, manhandled Bronson. So that's what they need to fix here. Full Gear 4-Way Contender Series tag match. You got the Acclaimed defeating La Facción Ingrenable. So sorry if I butchered that. It was Rush and Beast Mordos. They're still continuing this Max Caster and Anthony Bowen issue, huh?
Yeah, and it looks like this is where MVP is going to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. Because he wants Max Caster, but he doesn't care for Anthony Bowens. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the main event was... Oh, you also got the November Rain video. Let me just talk about this. What did you think about that 8-minute video?
I was like, why is this show ending? Why is the main event ending so early?
So they could play November Rain. Yeah. The main event, by the way, was Mariah May and Anna Jay.
In a hardcore match was fairly good.
It was a good hardcore match. Yeah.
And then they had the Moxley pre-taped promo right after that. And then they went right in this recap for November with all these leading up to it. And it was, yeah. I mean, as a guy that loved that song and grew up in that era and loved Guns N' Roses, I thought it was great. And missed the fact that this was on ECW back in the day.
What, the November Rain video?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, foreshadowing, right? Because they're going in December, they're running the Hammerstein. So I thought the video was good. And you know what? They did a better job in those 8 minutes to tell you what's going on in that company. That, they should do that every month. Every month, they should get some really cool song and do this 8-minute recap of everything that's happening in that company. It told the story, right? Like, I'm watching this, if I'm just watching this, I'm a casual fan, I don't watch every week, I knew everything that's happening. I knew who's important, who's not important, who's a babyface, who's a heel, why they're fighting. I want to see this every month. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. Will Washington will eat that up. If Will can do it, he will. That'll be the recap video. I'm not even joking. You're laughing. I'm not making a joke.
I know
this is
not,
serious business. They need to have All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey to be the December summary video, and it leads into World's End. Great. Get it done, Will. Come on.
You just put that out in the universe.
Oh, I did put it out in the universe. I'm poisoning all of you with my thoughts. I'm manifesting. Actually, no. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, the moon is in Taurus or whatever it's in. I saw these videos. Apparently, my TikTok thinks I'm holistically into numbers and astrology. For Tauruses, we should not be manifesting anything because it'll go horribly wrong.
Okay,
for the next couple days. Okay, I think this is very important. Also, the moon is going into the age of Aquarius for the next 19 years. Things are happening. Do you understand, Will Washington? Listen, Will Washington, listen to me. Tell Tony, you want Mariah Carey as the theme for the December summary video, okay? Thank you. Just do it for me. Not even for you. Do it for me. This is what we do now. Wednesday Dynamite, Orange Cassidy, Wheeler Yuta, Darby Allin, Claudio Castagnoli. We got Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Mark Davis against Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, Lance Archer, and Brian Cage. We got the Costco guy, Big Boom. AJ appears. You don't like those Costco guys, huh?
I don't know who they are.
We bring the Boom. You don't. You know what? You look like the Rizzler.
Oh, dear.
You have a lot in common with that little boy. Chris Statlander and Sheeta. And you got Hitchensero, Atlantis Jr., and Mascara Dorada in action. All right, cool. Full gear card as of right now. 0 hour. You got AJ versus QT Marshall. The Costco guy. Four-way match for the AEW Tag Team titles. You got Private Party defending against the Outrunners, House of Black, which is Malakai and Brody King, and the Acclaimed. We'll see who wins that. Mariah May and Mina.
I have a question about this.
Yeah. Oh, the champagne celebration?
Yeah. Are you a fan of doing like these kind of segments on pay-per-views?
I'm not, but I think this is leading into Tony coming back probably.
Yeah. They got to be doing something. That's why they would be doing it on pay-per-view. It's got to be her coming back or something.
Stumping.
Or somebody else. Yeah.
MJF Roderick Strong. Okay. This will be the opening match, and Max could get out of the building. Bobby Lashley, Swerve Strickland. Jay White, Hangman Page. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher. This is actually a very good card. TNT champion Jack Perry against Daniel Garcia. Garcia should win this. TNT champion Mercedes Moné against Chris Statlander. And AEW world champion John Moxley against Orange Cassidy. All right, cool. You like this card?
I do. I'm looking forward. Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, I think, is going to be great. Jay White and Hangman. I think that might steal the show.
I'm not in love with the Orange Cassidy John Moxley match. I understand what they're doing here, but that's not going to be the match of the night for me. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher could kill it. Jay White, you said, Hangman Page will kill it. Bobby Lashley, Swerve Strickland. What a strange pairing, but I'm very into this.
Me too.
Right? You know Max and Roderick Strong are going to have a good match. Max is nowhere to be seen.
He's showing up in little video packages. They're showing him like in his parlor. In his parlor was his glass of wine, like expensive wine sipping.
Where is that house? Is that in Long Island?
I don't know.
Has to be in Long Island. And the tag match looks good. I mean, you could do something very unique and have, you know, the Outrunners win the tag title somehow, and that turns into something, you know, a very different card than even last year. And I think this is the beginning pieces for the next year. This is how we're already seeing certain things come into play here. No Jericho. No Bucks. No Kenny, obviously. So, we'll see. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back with the final segment after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, final segment of the show. What are you looking forward to this week?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to, obviously, Full Gear. I think it's going to deliver.
I think so too.
They need a good shot in the arm, so hopefully that'll be great.
You know, they're in Newark. I don't know what WrestleTix has the building at right now. By the way, UFC last night was a sold out show. 18,605. There were a few tickets available on resale, but this was a hot commodity. I don't know what they're going to do in that building. I'm trying to find this right now. I don't have it on me. I should have been prepared for that. But, oh, here it is. Nope, that's wrong. AEW Dynamite has 1,700 tickets sold, so not great. We got that. We got Survivor Series coming up the week after. That's a slammed, almost sold-out show, which it will be sold out by the time the show starts. That'll have 17,000 people in the building in Vancouver.
And you got that Dynamite, the Dynamite before Thanksgiving in Chicago coming up.
And you got that.
Yeah.
And in December, you have Collision from the Hammerstein Ballroom on the 21st. It's not announced yet, but I got those notes. Shh. Ring of Honor is running that Friday. That's going to be a fun 2 weeks for me. I got the Garden show I'm taking the kids to. I have Saturday night's main event. I got Ring of Honor, and the following day I'm going back to the Hammerstein for Collision. So, listen, it's easy for me. It's a few minutes. 18 minutes back and forth. Perfect for me. So we'll have, that'll be a lot of fun. And next week we'll be back with everything happening in the world of professional wrestling. Until next time, bye-bye for now.